Hello and welcome at Enthusiasts. I'm Salma Uchiokeke, the CEO of Uchiokeke Legacy, and I'm thrilled to have you joining us today. The wonderful Tamsin Lovell joins me, and we have the pleasure of hosting a truly exceptional guest today. But before we dive in, here's a quick reminder to our listeners. If you are passionate about art and interested in the latest developments in the art world, explore the resources we have provided on the Uchiokeke Legacy platform. Now, let me introduce our guest for today. Yadichimma Ukoha Kalu is a self-taught experimental artist and illustrator based in Lagos and explores the intricacies of line, form, space, and boundaries across various mediums, including painting, drawing, sculpture, film, and digital platforms. Her multidimensional creations blend abstract elements, textures, and materials to evoke dynamic interactions within her work. With over 8 years of experience, Yadichimma has collaborated with both local and international artists and venues, earning prestigious commissions from institutions like the Zeitz Museum of Contemporary Art Africa and recognition as a featured artist on CNN's Inside Africa series. Continuously pushing the boundaries of her practice, she actively participates in panel discussions and engagements like the 2022 Africa Next event. She also fosters engagement through creative education, archiving, and interactive experiences. In addition to her tangible art, Yadichimma delves into the digital realm through her Instagram project of pure technical romance, using techniques like screen recording, GIFs, and collages to explore the intersection of virtual and physical reality. Her creative spirit is fueled by a fascination with processes and phenomena. She navigates life and the environment with childlike wonder and insatiable curiosity, and believes that every object, regardless of complexity, harbors unique universes and intricate systems. Without further ado, let's get started on this artistic exploration. Welcome, Tamsin, and a special welcome to our guest, Yadi.
Yadi, welcome to the podcast. We're delighted to have you join us, explore artistic legacies. Yadi, could you share with us your journey in the art world and how it has shaped your artistic identity?
Yes, thank you so much, Tamsin, and thank you, Salma, for having me on this podcast. I'm very happy to be here with you, and thank you for the introduction as well. My practice started, I would say, as a child. I was very, very and incredibly curious about my environment and my world, and we were encouraged to play a lot. I'm self-taught, which means that I've just sort of spent time teaching myself and gaining skills over time, learning online, reading things. And it started as me just sort of trying out representational art, which is, I think, the points that most artists start from. You start off by like drawing portraits of family, which is what I did, and landscapes. And I realized that the feedback was always that this looked good or this looked nice. And I think for me, that was encouraging. For a long time, I wasn't really sure of what I wanted to grow up to be. Having the validation in this aspect of this like random skill that I was always playing around with was really encouraging. But after making like portraits and landscapes for a while, I think I started getting bored with that and really wanted to know, I guess, like the reason for making these sorts of like pictures. I wanted to go beyond just representing what was existing and understand why it is I was even connecting to art as a medium of expression for myself. And that's where I think abstraction comes into play for me. The abstraction is really about delving into the elements of line and shape and color and trying to understand how those things play part in making stories that end up being this nice visual artwork. And I was exposed to artists like Picasso, Dali, very, very popular European artists. But I really enjoyed someone like Salvador Dali's work because for me, it was being exposed to this idea that within art, you could sort of form your own language and you could form your own systems. And that can then now inform how you build up your world and environment. And that reinforces the idea that abstraction was something, it was a mode I could use to engage the world. That's sort of how it's developed. And over time, I have gotten the chance to show in art exhibitions in Lagos, show also internationally, and also travel around the world, like just constantly exploring and expanding my interests.
Yadi, we are curious about the inspirations behind your creations. Are there any notable influences or sources of inspiration that have influenced your work?
Yes, there actually are. My first inspiration really comes from home. And I gave this to my mother. She was sort of a collector of antiquities. So we kind of grew up around china tops and deco plates and vases. And I realized, I remember that I was going to other people's homes and I didn't really experience like the amount of curation and attention to detail that my mother had put into my home. This is something I realized like when I was much older. I had this question, why am I so interested in objects and maybe the way things are placed? It was sort of because she exposed us to that early on. So we began to appreciate beauty for just beauty's sake. And she also encouraged us to play. We have this like interesting picture where me, my brother, and my sister are playing in the mud, and she took that picture of us. So there was always sort of an openness to how we were exploring the environment and how we were using things that we're surrounded by. The home I grew up in as well was also this sort of like bungalow, farm house kind of situation. I think my senses were very engaged as a kid. And when I think about growing up as well, I think of being a science student, like and growing and doing and learning about science and learning about atoms and molecules, and also attending the things like biology class and seeing these biomorphic structures, which have now come into play with like my abstraction. So I can see how that has also influenced like the practice. And that's it for me. Coming from home is really the base of that inspiration, my mother as well, and school as well.
I love that those inspirations came from that source, but the way you speak about them as well, it seems like they came naturally to you out of your own curiosity and your kind of blend of different interests. I'm imagining many artists sort of experience that, but they also struggle with the career side of their art. And yours seems to have just happened in a more natural and easier way. But I'm curious about if there was some sort of turning point for you in your art career and if you could describe what that might have been.
Yes. So there was definitely a turning point. I never really knew that I was going to pursue art as a career full time. It wasn't also an option for me. I did have these sort of like natural skills and inclinations towards drawing and making things. And luckily, I also had like my mom who was very observant of that. And she picked up on how I was drawing and just my general sensibility. So she thought this is going to be an architect. Because I think like that's like sort of like a safe option to think of like, oh, your drawing can translate into these architectural drawings, which would be buildings. And like, that's a valid profession. So I was very much headed in that direction for a long time. But somewhere down the line, I think around when I was 19, I found myself drawing constantly. I'll say between the ages of 17 and 19, I had the opportunity to go to the UK and get some education around drawing classes and doing like a kind of like a foundation course, but still pursuing architecture. And I think that was the first time I had experienced myself really enjoy learning process that felt very practical. And I just kind of carried on from that. From that, I had always had a sketchbook at my side, and I was always making things. But specifically in my career, I didn't even define myself as an artist for a long time, because again, I was literally just trying to figure it out. And I was trying to make sure that whatever it was that I was going to claim was something that was honest. I didn't want to just claim for art's sake. And I didn't want to also do it because I felt like it was the easy thing to do. I really wanted to make sure that it was something that I was drawn to and that I loved. And it wasn't until, I would say, 2017. I had had a few exhibitions before this time, but they were mostly group exhibitions. And this was the first time I was going to have a solo exhibition show. And it ended up happening at a small skate shop called Waffles and Cream based in Lagos. And I just remember sort of going through the motions, producing the work for this, and finding myself up at night drawing, kind of having this sort of like mad scientist moment, but like with art. And I realized that this was something I really love. Like, I really enjoy this process. This is something I would spend my time doing. And I think I consciously made a decision there to say, oh yes, like I'm an artist and this is something I want to chase. And this is, that moment was very special to me. Because again, for a long time, I had struggled with figuring out whether or not I had a specific purpose. And I think that that really gave me, just engaging in that process as deeply as I threw myself into it, really validated that indeed I did have like some path that I was moving towards and I was good at it as well.
Oh, wow, Yadi. Your artistic journey sounds really interesting. And for someone so young, wow. I'm interested, you know, considering Uchokeke's contributions to the art world. If there's any way he has impacted your artistic journey, what it could mean to you, perchance, and if you don't mind sharing that with us.
Yes, definitely. Well, I think like practicing as a Nigerian artist isn't the easiest journey to embark on. Like, I've had a great time forging the path I'm on, but I think sometimes it can be just like lapses that are sort of undeniable. For a long time, I was finding it hard to reference Nigerian artists. I was exposed more to European artists as opposed to like Nigerian and African artists that were also making the kind of work that I had grown to enjoy and who were also sort of documenting their own experiences and processes. So finding Uche Okeke for me felt really validating. I had heard about him for a long time, but I wasn't really familiar with his work. And I came across one of his books, which is a compilation of essays and short articles that he had written over a 20-year period. It's called The Art in Development in Nigerian Perspective, published by Iwalewa House. And I think for me, coming across that book, I was just completely blown away by the way he was taking account of the important changes that were happening with art from the 1960s to the 80s. And that time is really pivotal because the 1960s, when we gain our independence, and also we have a civil war in between that time. And it was just really interesting to see that a Nigerian artist in Nigeria was aware of what those like political changes meant, what the social changes also meant for art and art making. For me, he really articulated like what it meant to be a Nigerian creative as well. And I really enjoyed that. Something I value is, I guess, when people are able to document and archive, because I've spent a lot of my career sort of searching for resources and teaching myself, it's not very easy to come across material that is whole and it's full and it's coming from Nigeria. Our museum culture is not particularly like the greatest. So I really felt cared for, like discovering his work this way through his writing and through his words. And yeah, that's really how it's impacted like my journey so far. There's still so much to uncover. I'm still learning and finding out more.
So it was in a way really fortunate to have had the opportunity to dive into that work. I've got that book. It's a wonderful book.
It is. Yes.
Art in Development. I've got it in my hand right now. The publisher refers to it as the most important publication by the founding father of Nigerian modernism, and it was published in 1982. It's a great resource. And speaking of legacies, what does the concept of legacy mean to you personally, and what would you like your artistic legacy to be?
Well, I think legacy for me definitely represents the traces of a life lived intentionally. I think it's the things that end up influencing another person in one far-flung part of the earth, because we just decided to commit ourselves to the idea and our processes entirely. I would love my own artistic legacy to be that I committed to developing the roadmap that I currently am using for navigating my own life. And I did so playfully. And I employed all of my interests and all of my skill sets and continued developing them along the way. That's what has kept me inspired. And I hope that can also keep other people inspired. There's just this act of sort of committing to your process and exploring it fully.
I was very pleased, Yadi, to meet you at the Harmattan workshop. I can't tell you how I felt about meeting a couple of you young people, taking some initiative and going that extra mile to improve yourselves and find out what's out there. You said you have been to the Harmattan workshop more than once. I would be interested to know, how have your experiences at the Harmattan workshop been, and how have they contributed to your growth as an artist?
As someone who has developed her practice independently for most of her life, the Harmattan workshop really is one of the few places that I get to experience creating art in a collective space, especially within Nigeria. So participating within the workshop has really enabled me to feel like I had a community and like kind of belong as well. And we also get the chance to like really be surrounded by amazing artists that you otherwise would have no real connection or contact with. People like the painter Samuel Variety, who also works with the Busan Gwepaya Foundation, and the ceramist Jabu Kasi Natalie. It's like just coming in contact with them, sharing space with them, not only seeing their sort of like artistic abilities, but just like getting a chance to speak with these people. Something it's also giving me is like the opportunity to be able to develop new artistic practices. My art is constantly expanding, so I'm forever searching for new mediums and new ideas. And it was at the Harmattan workshop that I was able to pick up printmaking using the liner cut, and as well as stone carving, which has now become like a really, really important part of my own process. And of course, just sharing space with someone like Bruce Onabakaya, just being able to listen to him talk about his work and still be as old as he is, not even shaming age, but really he still has dreams for future young artists like myself. And it's like sharing space with like living histories. It's very, very rare to have that kind of experience. And it's not something that I take for granted. So it has really given me a lot. So I will keep on going back, and hopefully it's something I can also help sustain as time goes on.
It sounds amazing. I wish I could have been there as well. And Bruce Onabakaya is such an inspiring person. He was also a guest on this podcast. I'm sure his work has also been an inspiration for you and perhaps an influence. Would you say that he's shaped in any way your artistic vision through your interaction with him?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I'm especially drawn to his printmaking practice, which he's known for. He also came up with a new style of printmaking called plastography. But the printmaking I've been engaged in is the liner cut prints. And I started that at the Harmattan workshop. I was just taken by it. For me, Professor Bruce is someone that spent a lot of time exploring sort of like the rich histories of Nigerian mythology, folklore, and spiritual practices. And it's not just the history that is sort of connected to his hometown, but also like across Nigeria. For me, he sort of knows how to expertly blend this traditional art and like contemporary practice, which like further drives this point of natural synthesis, which Uche Okeke coined as this idea of mixing contemporary and traditional practices. And it's really aligning with me, especially with where I am in my practice. I kind of have started a journey from abstraction, and I'm moving more into like social context and history now. So I'm just being proxy to his work. I can really see how he's taking all of these ideas that I currently am interested in and reimagine them and reproduce them. So I'm currently exploring Igbo mythology, for instance, because I'm Igbo. And to really be able to see his work, I can get like a better idea of how to like tell the story that I'm trying to tell. And all the different techniques he's also used, some I'm learning and importing into my practice. It's really nice to just be able to be around all of his work in that way. The Harmattan workshop has a big gallery that's literally dedicated to Bruce's work. So you are in it, you live and work beside it. And yeah, I'm really curious to see what else like actually comes out of that as well.
It sounds like such an exciting platform that he's created there. And you mentioned earlier in the context of your influences from home, that sense of being taught how to play, and that playfulness comes through. Just, I love the energy in your voice as you're describing those influences. And I just get the sense that you're continuously exploring and continuously producing work. And I'd love to hear about upcoming projects or exhibitions that you have in the pipeline, and what audiences that might be listening to this could look forward to in terms of experiencing your work.
Yes, I'm constantly exploring many things at the same time. I think I get a lot of energy doing that, even though it can be tiring. But currently I'm exploring residency opportunities across Africa. Last year I had the opportunity to go to South Africa and Dakar for a fair and a residency. And I've sort of been enjoying how that has been affecting my work. So I'm currently planning another residency in Cape Town, actually, for the month of May. And also there is bronze casting, which is a thought I've been carrying in my mind for a long time. This journey I started with trying to uncover and unearth like history and mythology practices started when I went to Benin in 2022. That's where this bronze casting history is very deep and rich. So I'm going there in April, actually, to try my hands on bronze. I have a few ideas I can't wait to like explore. And I'm very, very excited about it. Currently, there's an art fair that's in Lagos where I'm showing work that I developed at the Hamilton workshop. It's a stone and metal sculpture. And the art fair is currently the +234 art fair, Lagos. But yeah, there's sort of many more side projects under there. But
it really sounds fascinating, Yadi. So much going on with you. And that's the beauty of it all, the energy you bring. And that's why I picked an interest in you and thought it would be really, really, really interesting to bring you on to our podcast. What advice would you offer to other artists who may be navigating their creative journeys?
Just keep yourself open and honest with the process, to read a lot. There's so much information out there. And we can't always wait for someone to handhold, but there's so much you can open yourself up to by just researching. Definitely explore and experiment as much as possible. I feel like sometimes in the art industry, there can be this sort of idea of like focusing on one thing. And while that's not bad, the world of things that you could just uncover by trying something new and you find your voice in that. It's literally how I got into my practice, by just sort of like trying things. I think definitely making efforts to explore also geographically, like actually travel, because that's something that's important for me at this point. After sort of growing up, I'm just like exploring and traveling, and it's really having a very tremendous effect on the kind of work that I'm making and how I'm also thinking of developing the work. So yeah, making that effort to explore, even if it's within your country, but just go to places that you haven't been before. Engage with people there. It changes how you look at life and how you are thinking about the future of your own practice.
I definitely agree with you. The travel does open the mind's eye, expands one's vision and one's idea of even creativity. It's really important. And I see a lot of young people like you traveling quite a bit and, you know, making that effort. And I think it's quite commendable.
And it's something your father did extensively as well, Selma.
Yes, he did. The journey remains the same for anybody that is seriously ready to grow their practice. You have to keep soaking in information from just about anywhere. The wider your scope, the better. The better you get a sense of your own self and develop your own voice, you know, and project yourself better out there. It's quite interesting how things are the same and yet different, you know. Because Tamzin, we're talking about somebody of this age, for instance. Compared to my dad, would have been hitting 90 by now, by April, if he was alive. This wide generations apart kind of experiment. And you find that some things are exactly the same. And then some things get impacted by technology.
Your dad turning 90, he was an ageless kind of personality because he was so young and always experimenting and always trying to be at the cutting edge of new things. And I think you can be young when you're old and old when you're young equally.
And that's exactly what you get from Bruce Onabebeya.
Yes, exactly. It's the same energy.
I was at a town workshop and he walked. I mean, those contemporaries, he's going to be walking until he drops and he's never getting tired. I was at the Hamatown workshop and he took me on a tour all by himself. And I was like, no, this is too much for you. He climbs all the way to the top, you know? And I'm like, no, you don't need to go with me. And he said, no, let me show you.
Yeah, I really, really appreciate that. It's nice.
Amazing. And all of them, that set, like Odimayo, and he would say that he's a special breed of people because it's the same for every single one of them. There's no difference. Everybody is just basically continuing with that dialogue in their own way. That's all. Yadi, you're going in the right direction, and a lot of young people like you also are going in the right direction. And this is why it's important to have somebody like you as a guest on our podcast, because it sends a strong message to young people out there that are finding themselves or that are struggling to establish their purpose. They can see somebody doing it.
The world is sort of made up of these human beings and systems and structures, and inevitably, like, you're feeding back into the system by the way that you're sort of living your life. So just being able to be exposed to people like Uche Okeke, Busana Brepaya, see how they lived and worked is why I'm able to keep on going. And I will keep on, keep on keeping on.
And you're creating those opportunities for yourself for exposure through the residencies you mentioned, through kind of that geographic engagement, through these kind of workshops. So here's a surprise question for you, Yadi. If you could collaborate with any artist, living or deceased, on a groundbreaking project, who would it be and why?
There are so many people I'd like to work with. Well, off the top of my head, and not just because we're talking about him, it would definitely be Uche Okeke. I really think that we align very much on why we do what we do. And there's so much I think I would have really loved to engage him in conversation, especially about his research into, for instance, like Igbo culture and mythology. And there's just something that I think I've also missed is this opportunity to sort of have a conversation with older artists and really sort of like nurture the kind of work that comes out of this kind of conversation. So yeah, like that's somebody that I can think of off the top of my head that I'd love to have met and be able to talk to and collaborate with.
And that's amazing. That's really amazing, Yadi, because he was always, always, always a mentor, just, you know, to help you find yourself and find what's that important thing for you and help you to move in that direction. So he would have been a perfect person to talk with. It wouldn't be just about the practice. It wouldn't be just about techniques. You know, it will be more about you and what would give you fulfillment as you journey on in this life. And people get surprised that what really matters to them in the long run or where they want to put their energies in. A number of people that he was talking to never thought they were even interested in art until after they had finished speaking. They found themselves gravitating in that direction and found that, oh, maybe they have been in this sector quite a long time without realizing it. You know, you just needed to speak with someone that helped you to find yourself. That is the amazing thing about all of them. I'm sure you noticed it with Bruce Onabeya, because it doesn't make you do anything. He just encourages you.
I think that's something that I enjoy about discovering, especially Nigerian artists like this, because we can also get lost in this sort of like survival mode. So even that creeps into the art, and you're not really getting the, oh, just go and explore. It's like, go and make the money. So it's nice. It's very refreshing to see people who can see from this perspective where it's really about like purpose and it's about life and it's about participating actively in life, but like through art.
In closing, I would like to thank our incredible guest, Yadi Chinwe Ukoha-Kalu. I mean, it took us a while to put this together, but it was well worth the wait. I'm sure all of us will agree. We're grateful for your time and the richness you've added to our conversation. Tamsin, thank you for your dynamic presence as always. It's always a pleasure to share this creative space with you.
And likewise. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It has been a lovely, lovely conversation.
We want to thank our listeners for joining us on this artistic journey. Your passion for art fuels the spirit of this podcast, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Please explore Uche Okeke's artistic legacy on our platform. It's a treasure trove that continues to shape the narrative of African art. Until next time, remember, stay inspired, stay creative, keep the conversations flowing and the creativity blooming. And stay tuned for more Coffee and Uche Okeke. Goodbye, everyone.